AOC gets caught in Florida without a mask. The CDC changes their quarantine recommendations, and the White House releases a vaccine video that's really creepy with kids. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show. All right, welcome back to the show. Glad to have you back here. And of course, we're in 2022 now. So finally, we can put 2021 behind us. At least that's the way it may seem. But in reality, 2022 is not going to be all that different. I mean, every time we always want to kind of look at the previous year and assume that the next one's going to be so different. But let's be honest, as long as people are still being brainwashed and as long as Twitter can still censor people and do everything that's been going on recently, it's going to happen in 2022 as well. So we can't really expect everything to be entirely different, but that's a bit besides the point. So let's go ahead and jump right in. There's a lot of things, of course, that took place over the last couple of weeks. And by the way, I do hope that you had a good Christmas, an awesome New Year's as well. And me and my wife just celebrated our sixth wedding anniversary as well, just recently also. So a lot of things that were kind of happening over the course of the past 2 weeks. And I hope that you enjoyed having time away from maybe the mainstream stuff that's going on all the time, just to focus on family and all of that. So let's go ahead and jump right into things. Like I said, many things that have taken place, of course, over the past couple of weeks. And one of the bigger stories that took place was actually with Ghislaine Maxwell. As you know, I've covered bits and pieces of the trial, or at least for what we could actually know about what was going on, because most of it was actually not really reported on. There's no live feed. There was very little to no media, I believe, involved in the actual courtroom. So we actually have almost no information of what took place. Huh. Funny how that works, right? So actually, about a week ago, she was actually found guilty in the trial. So the counts that she was actually guilty of here. So the actual, she was charged with a bunch of different things, specifically dealing with the illegal sex trafficking involved in the activity of the illegal sexual activity. It's all basically there. So she was actually guilty on 5 of 6 counts on Wednesday. This is including conspiracy to entice individuals under 17 to travel in interstate commerce with intent to engage in illegal sexual activity, conspiracy to transport individuals under 17 to travel in interstate commerce with intent to engage in illegal sexual activity, transportation of individual under 17 with intent to engage. It basically reads the same thing. And then conspiracy to commit sex trafficking of individuals under 18 and then sex trafficking of an individual under 18. Now, of course, this was good news initially. I mean, that's basically what kind of came out of this was, okay, well, this is good, right? I mean, this is what we wanted. We wanted for somebody to kind of take the fall for this, to be responsible for what took place. But we all know the most important part about Epstein was not Epstein. It was not Ghislaine Maxwell. It was the flight logs. It was specifically the people that were involved in the sex trafficking. We have to keep in mind that this wasn't the whole island and everything that Jeffrey Epstein had, and this whole operation that Ghislaine Maxwell was assisting him and involved in helping him with was not about those two people. And I'm sure they were, of course, involved in those activities, but let's be honest, it was the Hollywood elites, the political elites, people that we're trying to figure out who they were. We know who a lot of them are already. We know that Clinton was involved in this. We know that Jeffrey Epstein had visited the White House, I believe, like 17 times during the time that Clinton was actually in office. So we know that there's some serious names up there. And what do we get when we finally get the verdict from all of this? Well, we get the whole, well, the documents are sealed now. So now, Ghislaine Maxwell is effectively the fall guy. She was the person that they could pin all of this stuff on, that took the fall for Epstein and all of the rest of the people that were involved in on the flights and everything and with the island. And now she's the one that they can kind of say, okay, this all the blame gets put on you. Everything else is sealed. Goodbye. So that nobody else can ask any more questions. No one else can wonder what took place, what really happened to Jeffrey Epstein. No, none of that stuff is known right now. And we had some reports before all of this basically telling us that they were listing these names. So we know that they have the names. We know that they had the information, and they sealed the documents because they're trying, I believe, to play basically a cover-up. That's what this was. This wasn't so much as a trial as it was a way to make Ghislaine Maxwell the fall guy and cover up the rest of the documents and seal it for good so that no one will ever know what truly happened on those on the island, who was involved on the flights. We don't have the full list at all. And I guarantee you, it's probably because there were a lot of people that were in Hollywood, a lot of people that are Democrats. I guarantee you, we know the ones already, a lot of the famous ones that were already on the flight logs. So all of this stuff being sealed turns this whole, what could have been a good story, into a bad story, effectively. It's a story that wound up becoming a waste, where we realized that this runs deep. This corruption with trying to cover up for Epstein's behaviors and everything else like that is rampant, not only through just the judge and the trial, but through the entire system of people that are involved in this whole process. They didn't want the information to come out. That's what this was always about. So, unfortunately, I don't think we're ever going to hear anything of this. We'll never really truly know who all was involved in all of these different scenarios. We'll never truly know exactly what took place necessarily. We'll never know exactly what was read in the courtroom. We'll only know that she basically is the one that got pinned for everything. And then we just have to sit around and just hope maybe someday we'll find out what happened. But by then it'll be too late and almost irrelevant at that point. But moving on a little bit, so COVID has obviously been going on this entire time. Many of you over the last couple of weeks probably know somebody that has gotten COVID because we have the new variant. We have where we know that the vaccines aren't really as effective as they thought they were. We know that the boosters aren't as effective as they thought they were. There's no way to really test for the specific variants right now. So the cases have been going up like crazy. We've all seen this. And now just recently, just today, the global daily record of 1 million virus cases has been hit in the United States. So this is a big deal specifically because of what Joe Biden tried to promise everyone. He was the one that said he was going to shut down the virus, whatever that means. He was the one that said he was going to get rid of this entire thing, handle the situation. He was the one who was bashing Trump in the lead up to the previous election, saying that there's no, all these deaths he's responsible for, no responsible president will let anybody, this many people die from a virus like this. That's basically what he was saying, even though he knew that it had nothing specifically to do with Trump. And now we're seeing this where he has had the most cases so far. He has far surpassed Trump. It's actually worse now, case-wise, today than it was last year when we didn't have the vaccine at all. And yet, here we are. This is where we're at right now. Now, you would think that this would actually matter a lot more to the Biden administration, but they don't care because this makes him look bad and they know that. So, the highly mutated variant drove U.S. cases to a record. Monday's number is almost double the previous record, about 590,000 set just 4 days ago in the U.S., which itself was a doubling of the week prior. So we're seeing this constant trajectory going straight up. So the highest number outside the U.S. during India's Delta surge, when more than 414,000 people were diagnosed on May 7th. So this is a massive amount of cases increasing that we're seeing right now. And nobody in the Biden administration cares about talking about this. None of the Democrats are blaming him for it. Once again, there's no death or case counter on CNN running 24/7. None of that's happening because everybody's in this to basically cover this up. According to recent CDC data, at least 800,000 Americans have died from the coronavirus, which means that at least 400,000 Americans have died under the Biden leadership. So right now, he's already surpassed what Trump was doing. So what happened to shutting down the virus? What happened to trying to slam Trump or Republicans or all of that for these issues? By the way, the worst states, they're not Republican, just so you know. And that'll become a little bit relevant in a few minutes. But the point is that none of what they thought was actually going to happen with this virus is actually happening. Everything they said was an entire lie because they should have known that government cannot regulate a virus like this. There's no way that government can perfectly get rid of everything and every problem that's out there in the world. It's proving itself right here. No amount of boosters, no amount of vaccines, no amount of masks, no amount of mandates will ever improve this. More people are vaccinated probably now than they were before, and it's proving day in and day out that it doesn't even account for much of anything. And yet you still have them trying to mandate things, trying to get people to get the vaccine passports. It's a never-ending story of failure because they set this expectation up for, and the people that, of course, that were stupid enough to believe it, all of these Democrats out there, are realizing the hard way that this doesn't work. It never has worked this way, and it won't work this way because government can't fix these problems. And as a result, you have Democrats, and the latest person, of course, AOC, now basically getting caught red-handed without a mask. Actually, here's a picture of this. If you're listening to this on the audio, you basically have AOC sitting at this table with what is, I believe, this her boyfriend at this point, and no mask on. He's not wearing a mask. She's not wearing a mask. I believe they're outside, but neither one of them is wearing a mask at all. Now, this Democrat on Twitter says she's outside enjoying a cocktail. I think it's becoming more obvious that you don't know where Ron is either. Well, Ron is actually taking his wife to get chemo treatment, so maybe you might want to figure that one out, guy, but at the same time, that's entirely irrelevant to what's actually taking place here. The point is, she is a hypocrite. We already knew this, but it just goes to show you that these people are literally laughing at you. They're laughing at the people that are trying to comply, that are taking the vaccine and wearing the mask everywhere. They're laughing in your face because at the end of the day, where does AOC go? Where does this Democrat that has ruined New York, that has ruined her district, that has been the one championing all of these things to make sure that people are forced to get a vaccine or forced to wear a mask, the one that is doing all that goes where to vacation? If Democrats, pay attention, okay? Where does she go to vacation? Florida. Oh, wait, I remember Death Santis trending on Twitter, folks. I remember that. I thought Florida was the most dangerous place to be. What happened to that? Because it's really funny that when the rubber meets the road and they want to go on vacation, they go to a Republican red state, the same one that they continue to attack over and over again because we have our freedoms here. So they come here to enjoy their freedoms, but yet back where they came from, they're forcing their own constituents to adhere to their mandates, their crazy COVID policies that they're continuously trying to push. If you voted for this lady, you need to be paying attention to what's going on because she's enjoying herself in the same state that she's claiming is the worst place to be. Just think about that. If you really hated a certain state that much, you wouldn't go there. Now, you wouldn't see me going on vacation to California right now. Probably would be a bad idea to maybe go to Los Angeles at this point, right? Because I don't want to go to a state where I don't have my freedoms. I'm not going to pay money to basically be limited in what I can do if I'm going on vacation. I want to be free to do what I want to do, right? That's the whole point of a vacation. She knows she can't do it in New York, so she comes to Florida. Don Lemon recently did the same thing. I reported it on the show. So this is what they're doing. They're laughing in your face because of this. And of course, she is trying to cover this whole thing up. She's trying to pretend as if this was something entirely different because this is what AOC does every time she gets caught red-handed. She tries to pin it on someone else. She tries to say it's some other issue. So obviously, she got a bunch of backlash for this. Everybody was pointing this out. And then she says in a tweet, and I'll read the entire tweet, she said, "If Republicans are mad, they can't date me. They can just say that instead of projecting their own sexual frustrations onto my boyfriend's feet." And she said, "Y'all, you creepy weirdos." And then she went on to say, "It's starting to get old ignoring the very obvious, strange, and deranged sexual frustrations that underpin the Republican fixation on me, women, and the LGBT plus people in general. These people clearly need therapy, won't do it, and use politics as their outlet instead. It's really weird." Now, why in the world would she assume that people are, for some reason, wanting to date her? Nobody wants to date AOC. What does this have to do with anything? Maybe she just doesn't get it. Maybe she's bringing this up, which I really think is what it is. I think she's bringing this up specifically because she knows what the issue is. She knows why people are actually getting onto her and pointing out the hypocrisy. We know it's about the masks. She knows it's about the masks. But she's using this to deflect away from it, to pretend as if, oh, it's because I'm hot. That's why, or at least because I think I'm hot, because she's not. But, you know, she's basically saying, you know, because I think I look a certain way, because I think you guys want me so much, That's why this is happening. Meanwhile, ignoring the fact that men and women alike are pointing out her hypocrisy. I don't understand where she gets this from. It's so detached, such a bad deflect, that it's honestly pretty astonishing. And of course, Ron DeSantis chimed in on this as well. He was in Fort Lauderdale at one of the clinics, and he actually mentioned this, and the crowd was actually laughing because it is a really, really funny situation. So here's Ron DeSantis on the issue.
I mean, look, I think if I had a dollar for every lockdown politician who decided to escape to Florida over the last 2 years, I'd be a pretty doggone wealthy man, let me tell you. I mean, congresspeople, mayors, governors, I mean, you name it.
Yeah, so Ron DeSantis right on there, because so many people understand the freedoms that are here in Florida. So I don't really care what they say on Twitter, because once again, we must look at what they do, not what they say. What's coming out of their mouth, we know is a lie. We know that at the end of the day, when they want to go on a vacation, when they want to actually enjoy their time, they're coming right to the place that they bash anyways. And they know better than anyone that their own constituents and other Democrats are dumb enough to keep voting for these people regardless of what they do. They don't, I mean, the people that keep voting for Nancy Pelosi, they don't care that she was in a salon a year ago with no mask on, even though she was forcing people to do that she flew all the way from New York to San Francisco to do that. They don't care. Because for them, it's all about being entirely brainwashed by those people. They will lie to them and tell them whatever they want. They don't care. The Democrats don't care about Obama having a party with no masks and everything else like that. I mean, it's insane. Because, and of course, a lot of Democrats will say, well, it's because they're vaccinated. Come on, folks. Even the CDC is telling people, regardless of vaccination status, what used to matter does not matter. You're literally trying to get these other companies or getting the government to mandate a vaccine or vaccines or boosters in addition to all of that. And when a person does all of that stuff that they're being forced to do, to either keep a job or to do an activity, whatever it is, then you're telling them, hey, you still need to wear this mask. You still need to do all of this stuff because it never ends. People have lost all of their freedoms, and many of them have just given them away because they don't know any better. And that's really where the sad part is about all of this. Now, if you're talking anything about or speaking anything about these vaccines on pretty much any platform or the virus at all, you're gonna pretty much get banned as a result of that. And I think it's Robert Malone is the doctor that actually invented the mRNA technology behind these COVID vaccines, or at least that technology that they're then using for at least a couple of the COVID vaccines, was on Joe Rogan recently. He got banned from Twitter for, once again, hitting the nail on the head. Because ultimately, when you do that, they immediately get rid of you. Twitter's trying to basically ban anybody that's going against the grain. We've seen it happen like crazy recently. So he actually went on Joe Rogan, had the show. They did that. Recommend you definitely watch that for sure if you haven't already. But Joe Rogan also, as a result, had to basically say, you know what? I'm worried that I'm going to wind up effectively getting banned from Twitter too. And he has in turn joined Getter as a result of that. So now he's saying, just in case, This stuff over here at Twitter gets even dumber, I'm here now, rejoice. And he put that up on Getter. And so when you have people like Rogan that have a really big following, and you put them on these other platforms, what you're starting to see is another shift. Now, I remember when Parler was kind of going pretty well at the time before it got shut down by Amazon, and now it's pretty much still dead. But we have to look at this because ultimately Joe Rogan never went to Parler. None of these certain big names never went over to certain platforms. So it's not necessarily a discussion specifically about Getter or another social media site, because ultimately Getter's here now, but Gab's been around for a while and hasn't had any of these issues that a lot of other sites have had because they've already have gone through it already. Getter has not. And then Truth Social is coming up soon anyways, which everybody's going to wind up probably switching to, given that it actually is working in a decent amount of time when it actually launches. So this is more so about just people realizing, hey, Twitter is not where I want to be right now. And at the same time, neither is YouTube. Because YouTube, he actually put up the interview, obviously, on YouTube, Joe Rogan with Robert Malone, and it now has been removed. So that whole episode is completely gone. Of course, you can probably catch it on Rumble, you can catch it on many other sites, but the point is that it's not just a Twitter thing. As if you see Joe Rogan moving from Twitter and kind of exploring some other options, it's a sign that people are starting to wake up. People in the middle, right? People can, Rogan's not a conservative. But people that are in the middle are starting to realize this is not good. This is not where we want to be. And even YouTube is looking pretty bad. So now they're going to be obviously exploring other alternatives as well. So that's a good thing, but we'll see kind of where that goes from there. But the CDC is constantly involved in trying to change the rules. If you remember, they did the same thing with the social distancing. It was at first 6 feet, 6 feet. That's all you heard. And then, of course, they changed it to then 3 feet because what? Who knows? I mean, what was the arbitrary difference? I mean, we were anybody that was smart at the time was asking that same thing when they told us 6 feet. What's the big deal between 6 and 5 feet? I mean, where is the scientific reasoning behind this? Or was it just better safe than sorry? You're just making it up as they go, which of course is exactly what they're doing. So the CDC is shortening the pre-existing recommendations from a 10-day quarantine as long as individuals are no longer showing symptoms. So the Omicron variant is spreading quickly and has the potential to impact all facets of society. CDC's updated recommendations for isolation and quarantine balance what we know about the spread of the virus and the protection provided by vaccinations and booster doses, is what the CDC director is saying. So now what they're basically saying is that according to this, and so they're saying that, and this is from their press release, motivated by science demonstrating that the majority of the COVID transmission occurs early in the course of the illness, generally in the 1 to 2 day onset of the symptoms and 2 to 3 days after. So they're saying that the CDC is saying for asymptomatic individuals that they may leave isolation if they can continue to mask for 5 days to minimize the risk of infecting others. So basically they're reducing it from 10 to 5 days for that quarantine because they now have realized things that they should have probably realized in the first place. So kind of weird. Now, the thing is, we have to keep in mind, and it goes on in their statement where they say, for people who are unvaccinated or more than 6 months out from their second mRNA dose or more than 2 months from the J&J vaccine and are not yet boosted, CDC recommends quarantine for 5 days, followed by strict mask use for an additional 5 days. So they're basically just saying, oh, well, you know, we'll just reduce this. We'll do 5 days here, and then you can do another 5 days with just the mask and focus on that. The point is that these rules are changing all the time. As information becomes available, these rules are changing. A lot of this stuff people knew a long time ago, but they wait till the CDC, which is slow and cumbersome and miscommunicates half the stuff that they're talking about. They wait till that happens before they finally do something. The point is that why would we trust what they say now when this could change in a few months? It's almost like we're learning as we go with all things, right? We shouldn't be putting in things like this to say people must be forced to take this or forced to do this or forced to quarantine for this certain amount of time when more information comes out and we realize, oh, wait, they really didn't need to do that for that entire time almost at all. So, but that's the way that information around COVID has always been, such as certain things we obviously know. Anybody that's been paying attention would know a lot of the common sense things behind COVID. One of those is that people that are overweight or obese are at a higher risk for COVID death or being hospitalized in the first place. And what's crazy about this is that CNN, of all places, put this out. Now, notice, what did it take them 2 years to finally figure it out? I guess so. But CNN, this was in a CNN tweet. They said, people who are overweight or obese are at a much higher risk of much more serious disease and even death from COVID-19. And one new study suggests that losing weight can reduce this risk. We can't talk about losing weight. Not the Democrats, right? Remember, they're the ones that are all about fat pride and everything else. And that if you say anything about somebody's weight or anything else like that, then you're being ableist and all of these ridiculous terms that they use. They can't tell people, hey, you know, if you eat healthy, you might have a better shot at surviving. We've been saying this for the longest period of time. Don't get it twisted in thinking that for some reason the government cares about the people's health. If they truly did, they would be telling people that they should probably be going to the gym, not staying away from the gym, right? Why are we closing down the gyms? That was something we did at the very beginning. Why aren't we encouraging people to eat healthier to prevent this from happening? No, we need to push the vaccine. In other words, it's okay for you to be 500 pounds, just take the vaccine, than it would be for you to choose to actually get in a healthier lifestyle in general and not have to necessarily do the vaccine in the first place. Or maybe even if you do, you're still going to be better off. That's why you look at these people and it's almost insane, because you see them ignoring all of these things. You see them just saying, you know what, whatever with the weight. I'm not going to bother losing any weight, but I'll virtue signal with masks and vaccines because I care about my health. You know, you don't. You don't. Not when you're looking at the facts, when we actually can see this. So one study that they were citing in this found that 30% of COVID-19 hospitalizations were in people with obesity. These things we have to be looking at. These are facts that are there. Same thing with the elderly. We already knew this from the very, very, very beginning, and nobody in the mainstream media wanted to admit it. And yet you have CNN putting it out here in a tweet, and then they get mocked for it. Why? Because they've been hiding and covering this up this entire time. Once again, why do we shut down gyms if the whole goal of knowing that we could have reduced a lot of death was stemming from that? They aren't trying to encourage a healthy lifestyle. They're just trying to say, continue to be unhealthy, but take our vaccines that aren't even all that effective. At the end of the day, it shouldn't matter what it is. As long as it's effective against doing it, that when I'm talking about the monoclonal antibody treatments, and all of the other things, ivermectin, all of that stuff that's there, if that was actually what they cared about, they'd be pushing any and every kind of treatment. It doesn't matter what it is. But instead, they've been going all in to a somewhat preventative treatment, which isn't a treatment, but just something that's more preventative instead. And of course, it's showing that it's not all that effective because people are still getting COVID regardless of what they do. The media has been lying for so long that I think that a lot of these Democrats have no idea what's going on with COVID. But here's a few things, by the way, just a list that I have here of things that the media or Democrats have basically admitted about COVID that are irrefutable. So there's no conspiracy behind any of these things that I'm about to say or anything like that. These are proven factual things about COVID that Democrats and the media have either hinted at or have already said at some point. And I've just basically compiled it here. So first of all, cloth masks are ineffective against Omicron. That was Leanna Wynn. That's the crazy leftist doctor that's usually speaking on CNN. She said that. Okay? She said that. Because those cloth masks don't do much of anything at all. We already knew this for a long time, but hey, you know what? Whatever. All they care about is that somebody's got a shirt covering their mouth and nose or something. That's all they care about. They're not even thinking about how this actually works. Also, we know that the vaccinated can spread and get COVID. That's a medical fact. It doesn't matter what you're looking at there. It's true. The death rate is comparable with the COVID death rate is comparable to the flu right now. That's just a fact that a lot of people are ignoring. Many people are entering hospitals with COVID and not from COVID. Keep in mind, with and from, whether it's cases or whether that's deaths, are not the same thing. You remember when they were reporting all those hundreds of thousands of deaths and it was like, oh, wait, only 6% of those are actually specifically and only from COVID. All these other people were suffering from a comorbidity. By the way, being obese is a comorbidity. Diabetes, comorbidity. And not just one comorbidity. Typically, it was two or more comorbidities. So just keep that in mind. It's actually kind of interesting, just as a bit of a side note. There's a hospital that's close to me in this city that for actually about 6 months ago, they were posting almost every week a new update on the hospitalizations from COVID. Okay, I'm saying from, but that could be from anything. It doesn't mean with or from. They're probably lumping in with and from all in the same category, but you get the idea. And they were basically saying, okay, we had 100 hospitalizations, and then they'll put it on this little chart, and they'll say, you know, maybe 90 of those people, which would be like 90% of the people that came in that were hospitalized with COVID were unvaccinated, and 10% of those weren't or were vaccinated that were also hospitalized. Trying to push this idea that, hey, you know, the vast majority of people that are going to the hospital are unvaccinated, not the other way around. That's what they were trying to push. What's weird, though, is that 2 months ago, they stopped posting entirely. No more stats, no more updates. Radio silence on the amount of vaccinated versus unvaccinated in the hospital. Then, just about a week ago, they put out a new one where it was like, 60% are unvaccinated and 40% are vaccinated that wound up going to the hospital. Like, what happened over those course of the 2 months? And you have to assume, common sense will tell you, that when they do that, they don't report when it doesn't fit the narrative. The whole reason why they were pointing this out was to show that you should get the vaccination. So what happens when the numbers don't fit the bill? Do they lie about it? No, they just stop posting it. They just don't say anything at all. Because they don't want to actually show people the real facts. They're not being objective. Everybody, everywhere, all of these places are lying and trying to skew the numbers to make it out to be something else. But the reality is always something different than what they're saying. So the other portion of what they were saying is that natural immunity is a reason Omicron hasn't been as virulent. That's something that Fauci is talking about. That you're basically your immune system is going to be more effective at dealing with the Omicron variant than if you just had a vaccine and that's it. Because Omicron's pretty much going to infect almost anybody and everybody with COVID at this point. So the other things, too, that it's talking about is that the asymptomatic should not be tested. That's what the NFL was saying. Another one's that we should focus on hospitalizations and deaths, not case rate. That's what Biden has actually said, because those are what are probably going to be more important. But as you know, the media, when Trump was president, they were basically doing everything to change it around to whatever made him look worse. It didn't matter. Some one week it could have been cases, the next week it was deaths, the other time it was hospitalizations, you name it. Whatever it was that made Trump look worse, that's what they were using. They've also admitted that kids are not at risk and schools should remain open, which we already knew. Remember, if you haven't heard the statistic on it, but it was in San Francisco. Not one person, at least last time I checked a couple of months ago, under the age of 17, okay, has died from COVID. Not ever, like ever, okay? Just keep that in mind. That's insane, right? So just to kind of give you an idea of how low of a risk young people are for COVID. Just a few other things here. Cloth masks are ineffective against Omicron. We already know that. And COVID is predominantly an illness affecting the immunocompromised and elderly, and we should not shut down society. Once again, a point that we already know, based off of what we already can see. So those are just a few things that you see the media basically that they've kind of admitted offhand or just kind of in passing that makes an actual difference. It does matter. But if you're reporting on these things, you're going to get banned. That's what happened to Marjorie Taylor Greene. She was just banned from Twitter just very recently because of actually pointing out these types of things that we already know are the case. So in the statement they put here, we permanently submitted the account you referenced for repeat violations of our COVID-19 misinformation policy. We are clear that, per our strike system for this policy, we will permanently suspend accounts for repeated violations of the policy. But all she's doing is probably pointing out exactly what we already know, like the things people have already admitted. But you're seeing over and over again people literally getting banned from Twitter, from online entirely because of this, because of them reporting these facts. So right now, it's impossible to really disseminate information very effectively on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, because ultimately what they're doing is banning any and everyone that's even remotely or loosely associated with the right, with anybody that's actually questioning the regime. And that's why you have people like Joe Rogan, of course, basically saying, you know what, let me go ahead and plan for the worst here, because something's probably going to happen and it's not going to be good. Another thing, too, that kind of was brought up in relation to another story I reported on about a month ago is that fentanyl seized at U.S. borders has surpassed the amount of heroin that's been seized at the border for the first time in U.S. history. This is a massive deal here. So U.S. Customs and Border Protection, 11,200 pounds of fentanyl was seized in the year 2021 throughout the entire year, compared to 5,400 pounds of heroin. Other drugs seized were like 320,000 or so pounds of marijuana. You had some methamphetamine, 97,000 pounds of cocaine, ketamine, other things like that. But you see fentanyl rising to the top, okay? This is related directly to the report that I talked about a couple of episodes ago, where you basically have the fentanyl, actually the deaths, I think it's between like people that are basically middle-aged people, are like those deaths for fentanyl are higher than COVID by far. So we need to be looking at what are people actually dying from that's actually a legitimate problem, okay? You would think it would be opioids. You would think it would be these drug uses, things like that. Not this stupid virus that's been going on for 2 years that Democrats can't get themselves, can't get them ahead of themselves on. I mean, you would think that people would be focusing on something like this, an actual drug epidemic in this country that's legitimately killing more people, that is more dangerous than COVID has been. But they're ignoring that because they don't care about people at all. They don't care about their health. So just a very interesting stat from 2021 that we can look at and absolutely look at. So the last story, but not least for this episode, is actually a video from the White House. Okay, so keep this in mind. This is put out by the White House on the YouTube channel. Of course, they've got the comments turned off and likes and dislikes. You got the you have the dislikes hidden from YouTube, of course, because that's the whole point of the reason why they put that there. But it's this weird, creepy vaccine video with kids in it, where you have kids basically asking this obvious doctor that is going to side with everything Democrat, of course, where the kids are asking the doctor about the vaccines for whatever reason. So go ahead and check it out here.
Is there peanuts in it?
No, there are no peanuts in the vaccine.
Is there fish in it?
There are not fish in it.
Is it like lint in it?
No, there is not lint in it either. You're good. My name is Lee Savio-Beers. I'm a pediatrician and the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and I'm going to be joined today by some kids who have questions about the COVID-19 vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11. So, then, do you know about the COVID-19 vaccine?
I know it's something that helps your body develop antibodies that can fight different kinds of viruses.
You know a lot about it. I'm impressed. Yeah, that's great. Are you going to grow up and be a scientist?
Maybe.
Yeah, you do a great job at it.
So I just don't understand. How did we first think of having a vaccine for COVID?
That's a really good question. You know, you have gotten vaccines against a lot of other illnesses too. Did you know that?
Yeah, I only remember the flu shot. That's all I remember.
Yeah, a lot of the other ones you got when you were a baby. And so when we learned about COVID and we knew how serious it was, we thought, well, gosh, you know, vaccines are the best way to keep people from getting infections. So what if we could have a vaccine against COVID? Then everybody could be much, much safer. And then we had some really, really smart scientists who had been working on this kind of thing for a long
time.
And
Trump.
They said, oh, I think we can do this. And they did it. And now they have. Now we have it.
Is it safer to put up my friends if I'm vaccinated?
Oh, you know what? It is. And it's so important to play with your friends, right? Your parents and your teachers have been doing lots of things to keep you guys safe. And this will make it a little bit safer.
I'm excited to play with my friend Dorothy and my other friends at school because they said when we all get vaccinated, we can have a play date. I think I want to go on vacation.
Go on vacation, me too. Anywhere special you want to go on vacation?
Back to Atlanta. Oh.
Surprised I didn't say Florida.
I remember that.
It's going to be fun to be doing all those fun things again, isn't it?
Why did grown-ups get it first, and how did they get it first?
So the reason is that whenever we have any vaccines or medicines, too, we want to make sure first that it works in adults. And then once we know it's safe in adults, then we feel a little more comfortable knowing that it's going to be safe in kids.
Why do we get the vaccine in a shot instead of drinking it?
You know, part of the reason that we get the vaccine in a shot instead of drinking it is because all those little things in our body that are like our coach, they're in the part of our body that we can get through actually through our muscle as opposed to through our mouth and through drinking it.
Cool.
What do you think about getting the COVID vaccine?
A little nervous.
I'm nervous.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And you're excited. I was a little nervous and a little excited when I got my first one too, and I'm really glad I got it. Have you gotten your first dose yet? Are you gonna get it soon?
Wait, I'm getting mine on the 15th. My mom got her booster shot.
She did. Oh, me too. Me too. We're all doing our part to stay healthy.
Great. Cut.
So good. Good job. Was it fun?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it's just really creepy. I mean, you can tell. You have a series of different kids that are being asked these questions. And, of course, I'm assuming that probably a lot of them were told what to ask and everything. But, I mean, just really creepy stuff going on there, right? Where you have them asking a group of kids that literally are at almost a virtually zero risk. Remember, the flu is deadlier to these kids than COVID. It just is. I don't care what YouTube says. I don't care what Twitter says. All you need to simply do is look at the statistics. COVID does not hurt kids almost at all. It's such a lower amount in the percentage that it's absolutely insane for it to cause a death in anybody. How, once again, how do you have this work in San Francisco where we're not talking about 10, 13-year-olds? Nobody under the age of 17 has died of it in San Francisco, but yet you have them using this as a means to say, oh, well, let's get the kids to do it. Why was it given to the adults first? Well, we want to make sure it's safe in adults. Well, you didn't really make sure it was safe in adults either, did you? Because you didn't have time to develop it. One of the kids should have asked a simple question like, why did it take 12 years to develop the fastest vaccine we've ever seen in U.S. history, but yet COVID was able to make one, and or we were able to make one for COVID in 2 months? I mean, somebody please ask that question, because I'd love to see her scramble to answer that. Oh, what? Because she's not going to credit Trump, even though it was created under his administration, under his direction. She's not going to do that. They're not going to report on the actual facts of the situation about what's actually happening. These types of videos talking to these kids and stuff is absolutely ridiculous, considering the fact that it's like, oh, well, I want to get this vaccine so I can play with my friends. For what reason? Kids have so many other things to worry about. And we're just going to throw all of that out of the way and assume that it's just all the same. That for some reason that COVID just affects everybody exactly the same way and there's no difference between it at all. COVID isn't a health risk for everybody. For some people, it is, just like the flu and everything else. We have different demographics. We have scientists for this and statistics for this for a very good reason. It's so that we can basically determine for ourselves what is what. Are elderly people more susceptible? Are people that are overweight more susceptible? Are people that are younger more susceptible to certain things? That's been the case with everything. There's never been something where it's like, hey, look, it affects everybody exactly the same way, no matter what it is, no matter what age you are, no matter what race you are, no matter what this sex you are. It doesn't work that way with anything else, but for some reason with COVID, we have to make it available all the way down. I mean, it won't be long before they're basically inserting or vaccinating kids in the womb before they're even born, because they're so busy trying to make sure a vaccine is available for as many people as possible when they're not a part of the actual group where it even matters. You can't tell me this isn't about money. That's why they're trying to target this for these kids. It's nothing about money. Nobody at Pfizer, nobody at Moderna, nobody at any of these vaccine companies cares at all about the fact of the statistics behind these of the actual vaccines for kids or the COVID susceptibility or risk or anything for children. They don't care about that. It's about their bottom line. I believe I saw a story where the CEO of Pfizer was like rated like the or voted the best CEO or top CEO of the year or something. I mean, come on. The guy's there to make money for his company. That's exactly what he's doing. He's putting it and trying to get this vaccine and giving it to as many people as physically possible to maximize it. Because it's all about that money. It follow the green and you'll figure out what's really going on in our society. That's why he's all advocating for a fourth booster shot. I mean, it's a never-ending process because you have companies that are entirely focused on their bottom line. They're not focused on people's health whatsoever. So it doesn't matter what it is. Oh, this variant that doesn't work at all. I mean, trust me, the next variant is going to be even less less effective when dealing with the vaccine. So what you're going to wind up with is even more people are going to be able to get affected by this other variant from the vaccines. It isn't going to end no matter what you do. And the Democrats trying to pretend as if it's just going to magically go away somehow are out of their minds. We said this 2 years ago. It's not a matter of if you're going to get COVID. It's when you're going to get COVID, because pretty much everybody's going to get it at some point. These vaccines will not stop anybody from getting it. That was the whole goal. It didn't work. It has not worked. So this lady sitting there lying to those kids and telling them, oh, well, it's so we can prevent that. Well, what about treatments? Ask the lady about that. What about treatments for COVID? Oh, you mean all of those things that you're trying to stop people from getting? Why are you so focused on trying to prevent people from getting the vaccine? Prevent people from getting COVID when you may and should be looking at something maybe to, I don't know, treat it. Things that they're ignoring, right? Things that this lady doesn't care about. Because Democrats are only focused on preventative things, not the actual treatment to get to help you once you've got it. That's all that this is. While they want to falsely and assume, well, yeah, it just kind of helps you maybe not be hospitalized from blah, 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 and this and that. Plenty of people, once again, have gone to the hospital with COVID that have been fully vaccinated, had all the boosters, and still have died from it, still have all the complications. It doesn't matter. and plenty of people that have had no vaccinations whatsoever are walking around, even if they have COVID, they may be asymptomatic. It's just insane that we're at this point right now where you have to have them coerce kids and everybody else and pretend as if this is really about their health. It's not. It's about money. It always has been and it always will be. And that's the whole point that I'm trying to bring out in this entire video. So that being said, that's all I have for you on this episode. I thank you for watching or listening to this one. Remember that if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, leave a review on there as well. And if you're on Spotify, you can also start leaving reviews. They just added that feature there as well. But with that being said, I will see you on the next one.